Blog Talk Radio.
And a good Thursday to all of our guests who have come on to the radio broadcast tonight. Once again, Brother Williams, co-minister of the Par Addition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA, comes to you. And on behalf of my fellow ministers who also serve and teach along with me in this radio broadcast on a regular basis, we want to say thank you all for coming on and being on the broadcast again tonight. We know that we have some folks who come on this thing quite regularly, and we certainly appreciate that. We look forward to talking with many of you tonight. As many of you already know, and for those of you who may not know, and this may be a once in a long time, tonight we're going to primarily try to conduct a question and answer Bible period. We want to solicit your questions that you may have, that you want the Bible's answer for, because all we're here to do is to tell the truth, the whole truth, the naked truth, nothing but the truth. We're here for the Word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that's only in the Word of God. The Bible is the Holy Writ, the written revelation of God's eternal will and testament to mankind. The will that God has put forward, by which every man who desires to do so can have his soul healed from the sickness of sin and the consequence of eternal damnation in hell. God loves the souls of every man, and he wants all souls to be saved. As a matter of fact, God created us all. Jesus Christ, the Creator, made every man. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. He is the Creator, and he created the soul for his good pleasure, and he loves the soul of man. He wants man to be saved. That's why Jesus Christ, who is God from the beginning, came down in the person of a man in the flesh and lived a perfect human life, giving that human life, that body of sacrifice, for the salvation of the souls of men. He took upon him our sin. Oh, when he died, he didn't die with his sin. He didn't die because of his sin. He died without sin and because of our sin. That is the sin of mankind from Adam in the beginning all the way to the day in which he died on the cross in A.D. 33. And his dying sacrifice suffices. It is sufficient. It is enough so that it reaches forward to those in today and for every day that the Lord let the world stand. His blood reaches forward, the blood of sacrifice, to cleanse every man who obeys his gospel. Now, Jesus was very concerned about the soul of men. And so the Bible shows us that he came to show us, and he did, the love of God. That death on the cross, that sacrifice that he gave, that dying and being raised again for our justification. He did that because, as God, he loves us. He loves our soul. And tonight, we want to encourage everybody on this call, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you ought to do so today. You ought to find a way in the next few days, if God wills and you are blessed to continue, to find yourself to the man of God who will be able to baptize you according to the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the removal of your sins. So, if you have obeyed the gospel, you've been baptized into Christ, but you are not living a faithful life, we want to encourage you, we want to warn you, we want to admonish you, and let you know that you need to get it right with the Lord. You need to get it straight before it's too late. Because once you lay it out straight in that coffin, and your body is put into the earth, and your soul goes into death, final day of judgment, it's going to be too late to repent. It's going to be too late for repentance and obedience in devotion to Christ. Because however you die, that's the way you're going to be. That's the way you're going to be raised. Jesus says if you die unjust, you'll be unjust in the resurrection. If you die righteous, you'll be righteous in the resurrection. There's not going to be a change between physical death and final judgment. There's not going to be any change in your life or your destiny for all eternity. But you can change while you live in the flesh. You can change while your life is still existing on this side of time. But when judgment day comes, time shall be no more as we know it in this world. 24-hour days will cease to be. There will only be eternity, which is time forever. But where will you spend your eternity? That's the question of life. Where will I spend my eternity? And the Bible gives all of the answers that one needs so that they can get ready. They can equip themselves to be able to receive the life to come. Now, you know, in order to go to heaven, we got to prepare. You don't have to do a whole lot if your desire or your intent is to go to hell. You can do nothing, or you can do everything that you imagine to do in your mind. Everything to the obedience of your selfish lust and pleasures. You can do any and everything or nothing at all, and you'll be prepared to be condemned for failure to obey God in the final day of judgment. But if you want to go to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're here to talk about tonight. That's what we're here to talk about this day. If you want to go to heaven, there are things that you must do. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the Bible says that at the times of this ignorance, God winked at it. But now he commanded all men everywhere to repent. That's for your salvation. There's no excuse for any man to not know and repent before God. The knowledge of his word is available to every tongue, every civilization, every culture, every generation of man on the planet Earth today. We know that the Bible has been translated into hundreds of the various languages of the world. There are 1,500 languages or tongues or dialects. You know, we got, sometimes you may have one language, but it may have five dialects. Well, the Bible is published in every language and dialect known to man today. It's even published in Latin, though that's a language that hardly anybody, any culture or any civilization uses today. The only thing that we know about the Latin language, as they call it, a dead language, is that the head of a Holy Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, he conducts a mass once a year in that language, a language that hardly anyone knows, maybe not even himself. But if he does know it, he's the only one. And you know it's unfortunate because the Bible speaks about that kind of tongue speaking. People talk about Sean speaking in tongues. Well, speaking in tongues is speaking in various languages, one or more languages, having the ability to speak in a language that is unknown to the audience to which you speak. You see, many of us in the world speak the English language. But again, there are over 1,500 languages. But if you don't understand all of the languages, someone come and speak to you in a language that is foreign to you, that is an unknown language for you. That person is speaking to you in an unknown tongue. So the Bible is not intended to be difficult to understand, to believe, and the truth to receive. God made it available to every man in his own language so that there is no excuse, there is no reason why one can't be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to ask some questions and answer questions that relate to the doctrine of the one true church of Jesus Christ, the church of Christ, which is spirit and not material. The church of Christ is not brick and mortar, wood, hay, or any such thing, but the church of Christ is spirit. Why? Because the church of Christ is the body of Christ. Christ, as God, is spirit. The man, Jesus Christ, does not exist in the world anymore. The church of Christ exists in the world today by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is God. And Christ is that Holy Spirit for you and I. The Bible tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are none of His. Well, if I've got to have the Spirit of Christ, that must be the Holy Spirit. Because Ephesians 4:4 says, 4-6, there is one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. And it also tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that God is one God. Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are one God, not three gods. Not three spirits, but one God. God is spirit, John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him or serve him in sincerity according to his truth. Sincerity means we must serve him with our spiritual mind, in our spirit man, which is our soul. The soul is spirit, not flesh and blood. The body is flesh and blood. But God is not saving the body for eternity. God has already declared that the body will decay. It will pass away. It will die. That was determined. Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning. God told them, if you eat of this tree, which is beside the tree of eternal life in the middle of the garden. If you eat of that tree, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Oh, yes. And mankind, as represented in the loins of Adam and Eve, mankind died spiritually that day. And the consequence of sin is death, and consequently, man's flesh changed, and it embodied death. We are born mortal. Mortal means subject to physical death. We are born free from sin in our souls. But it ain't very long that we're living a life of sin and temptation and the very influence of the god of this worldliness, Satan, and all of his agents of sin and deceit, that we fall into a sin and to condemnation through ignorance. We don't even know we sin. But thank God for the revelation of the word, because when our minds are of age to be able to understand what the will of the Lord is, then we are made aware at that time of sin. Paul says in Romans chapter 4, if the law hadn't come, I wouldn't know nothing about sin, because I was without, I was dead in sin, didn't know it. I didn't know I was a sinner until the law of God was revealed in my mind. And so now that I know what sin is, and that it is a displeasure and is not pleasing and it's a revolt against God, I don't want to be caught in that condemnation. I don't want to suffer eternal death. That's damnation in eternal hell. I don't want to be a prisoner and servant of Satan for all eternity. I don't want to suffer the pain and agony of being totally separated by Creator, who is God, whose image I receive by inheritance through being born in this world. Huh? I don't want to suffer without the presence of God, because for the soul to be absent from the presence of God is hell itself. We were created to live in eternity with God. We were created for heaven. That's what makes hell hell. It's not intended for man. God didn't even create hell for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. But mankind, as a majority of the generations that have lived and live today, will be going to hell, the spiritual condemnation of hell, because man does not regard the condition of his soul for the majority. The majority of human beings today, 75% or more, have no devotion, no obligation, no obedience to the will of Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, God, our Savior, the living God, the Savior of the souls of all men who obey him. Most people have no regard. Well, that means most people are going to hell. Jesus declares in John chapter 8, verse 21 through 24, except you believe that I am he, except you believe in me, you will die in your sin. And where I am, there you cannot come. Where is Jesus Christ, who is God the Almighty today? Jesus Christ is on his throne, his everlasting throne. From the beginning, he is God. He's on his everlasting throne in the heaven, the eternal heaven. You don't go to eternal heaven, then you're going to go to hell. There is no halfway house. Somebody say, well, I'm too bad to go to heaven and too good to go to hell, so what's going to happen to me? You're going to go to hell because you're not too good to go to hell. There's no such a thing. We have to not be good, which is a human righteousness and standard. We have to be obedient to God. We have to be godly in our devotion if we expect to die out of this life and go to heaven. Continuing this broadcast tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give mention to those whom honor is due. We appreciate and have much regard for our brethren, the members and ministers of the Darren Luke Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA, who began 3-4 years ago in this broadcast. They have been paying for the broadcast every week. You notice we don't ask for no money. God is already blessed. We are fulfilling the will of God in the commandment that he gave when he gave the great commission to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Now, Jesus is speaking here. So Jesus is a God, the commander in chief. He is our spiritual commander in chief. In the United States of America, we refer to our president as our nation's commander in chief. But the spiritual nation, which is the nation of Christ, Christ is our spiritual commander in chief. And he commanded the gospel be preached and men believe and obey it and be saved. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, the gospel writer Mark records it this way. Jesus said unto his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, somebody said, well, wait a minute. Is Christ going to damn us to hell? No. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Because of man's sin, man is already damned and condemned. Jesus Christ, who is God and our Savior, he came into the world to save man from his sin. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. He says in verse 17, for he didn't come into the world to condemn men, but rather that they might be saved. He loved his man so much. He loved the soul of man, and he gave himself, he died on the cross, that through faith, which is belief and obedience to him, man can be saved for eternal life. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you got some questions tonight. I hope that you got a paper and pencil and your Bible in front of you. And I hope that you are wanting to get God's answer to your spiritual questions, to your moral problems. See, God takes care of all that. Now, this forum is not going to be dealing with anything to do with politics. Okay? We're not trying to talk about the Constitution and all that kind of stuff. What we want to talk about is the morality that God has given to his man and the gospel of salvation which God has delivered through grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all mankind, teaching us that denying our selfish, fleshly, and worldly lust, that we should live wisely, that is, by the wisdom of God, and righteously by the righteousness of God in this present life. That's what the grace of God brings to our knowledge, brings to our mind. And so that's what we're looking for tonight. How are we going to please God and go to him? As we continue, let me just take a moment to pause. We're going to have a word of prayer to bless our ministry tonight by the grace of God. And then we'll continue. Let us pray. God, our most heavenly Father, Father God, you have loved us, and you have sent salvation into our life, and you are requiring that we accept it in order to be saved. And Heavenly Father, you're not going to twist our arm. You're not going to make us. You're going to love us, and you want us to obey the truth. Help us, dear God, as we meditate, as we concentrate, as we focus our minds on your word and your will. Help us, dear God, to dismiss all of the false religious teachings and religious doctrines that are not in the Bible, and even the very demonic and horrible temptations of Satan. Let us denounce and let us accept your will tonight, dear God, this day, that we might be saved before everlasting and eternity, too late. May someone tonight, dear God, as they listen to this broadcast, who may not have experienced the pardoning of their sin through the obedience of the gospel of grace, may they make up their mind and say, hey, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. Not what the Pope say. Not what the pastor say. Not what the reverend say. Not what the father or the priest or the preacher. But what the Lord says. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless this ministry and we ministers, that we may minister the grace of salvation, that we may answer the truth, and that many may be persuaded to obey it. Help us, dear God, as we live from day to day. We want to thank you for the material blessings of life that we have so that we might have a decent and a moral life. Thank you, dear God, most of all, for the opportunity to enjoy the that are in Christ Jesus. Help us, dear God, by obedience. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, guests, all of those who are not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that we're generally concerned about your soul, and that's why we do what we do. We are working in obedience to Christ in the Great Commission to take the gospel salvation to every nation of people, every race of man, every language and tongue of man on the earth, because that's where men are. That's where the souls of men are embodied. And so the gospel is to give the soul freedom from the influence, freedom from the condemnation of the fleshly lust that war against our spiritual soul. And they war against God. But God is our victor. He's already won a victory for us. We just have to fight the battle, the fight of faith, and lay hold on that victory of eternal life and salvation in Christ. We want to also mention that there are several ministers who work with myself on this program. Brother Lewis Parker Jr., who is minister of the Church of Christ, Dickinson, Texas, USA. Brother Lewis Parker IV, his son, who is the minister of the Sugar Land Church of Christ on Voss Road in Sugar Land, Texas, USA. Brother Don Kegler, minister of the AD 33 Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA. Brother James Johnson, my co-minister of the Paul Addition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. And we also have Brother Brian Brown, who is a faithful member of the Westward Street Church of Christ in Texas City, Texas, USA. Now, Brother Brown is our moderator tonight. His job is to get you on the air where you can ask your question live on this global broadcast, a broadcast that's being broadcast on the radio wave and the internet all over the world. You can ask your question. Somebody beside you want to know. Somebody wants to know. Maybe they're afraid, but you don't be afraid. No one need be afraid. Ask your question. When you get ready to ask a question, you're going to be on your telephone and you look on your keypad and push numero uno, number one. Push that number on your telephone and it'll send a signal to Brother Brown and he'll take your response and cue you into the call where you can ask your question of we panel of ministers. Okay? So don't hesitate. While I'm speaking the truth, if you have a question to ask, you just push number one. Brother Brown will interrupt our speaking, and we will be quiet and listen to your question. And then we will speak to answer your question by the word of God. We promise you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you ask a Bible question, we will give you the Bible answer. We will give you the book, the chapter, and the verse or verses where you can find your answer written in the Word of God. And you can write that down and go back and read it and check it and understand it for yourself. And then you are able to be obedient in true faith and holiness to God. So tonight, we're looking for questions. And if you don't have any questions right now, we'll begin this broadcast with some questions. Because Brother William got some questions. I know a lot of folks in religion today. They're in various religious organizations, religious doctrines, religious faith, religious churches. They believe a lot of things in religion. Some people believe that you don't even have to go to worship in assembly to go to heaven and please God. And some people believe that it doesn't matter where you go in assembly to worship God, just as long as your heart is right. And that's really a catch-22. It's a impossibility. You can't obey and do sin and yet be right in your heart of faith to the Lord. There's no such thing. Either we are right or we are wrong. Like I said, there's no in-between. There's no halfway. Can't be half right and half wrong. You're either right or you're wrong. In James chapter 2, around verse 10 through 14, the book of James mentions the fact that if we offend or commit sin, one sin, one error against the law of God, we have broke the law. Well, we understand that because even the law of man is such that if you break any one of the civil laws of man, you have broke the law. And there's a penalty against breaking the law. There's a penalty that one will experience if he is found to break the law. Same thing with God. You see, man got his morality from God. But if you break one of the laws of God, you broke the whole law. So what we got to do is we got to repent. We got to watch ourselves. And we have to strive to obey every command, every instruction, every directive that the Lord has given us for eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So if there's any of you tonight who are on this call, you got a question or you have a comment, you might want to say something, okay? Feel free to let us know by signaling Brother Brown, push number one on your telephone keypad, and you'll be able to ask us your question live on this broadcast. As a minister of Christ, a man of God, a man of faith and duty to Christ, we teach the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, when it is obeyed, produces Christians and Christians only. There are no Baptist Christians mentioned in the Bible. There are no Catholic Christians in the Bible. There are no Methodist or Lutheran or any other Christians in the Bible. Just as there are no Baptist churches, Catholic churches, Methodist churches, Lakewood churches, or any other churches in the Bible other than the churches of Christ. In Revelation, you had a church at Pergamos, you had a church at Thyatira, you had a church at Sardis, you had a church at Laodicea, you had a church at Ephesus, you had a church at Smyrna. All of these churches were named, they were all the same. The Revelation chapter 2 describes them, Revelation chapter 1 rather, describes them as all being golden. They are the same type, same color, same glory, because they belong to Christ. They are one spiritual church. The names of the cities only indicate where the worship assembly and the saints live who worship God in the church. Same thing is true today, ladies and gentlemen. The Church of Christ is a universal spiritual kingdom of Christ. It's all over the world. It's in every place on the earth. It's in every country among all the nations. The Church of Christ is all over the world. Each one of those individual congregations are assemblies of saints, saved souls that make up the spiritual body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "Now you," speaking to the Church of Christ, "are the body of Christ, and each one of you are members of that body." The body of Christ has members, just like our human body has members, arms and legs and eyes and nose and ears, feet, okay, internal organs, heart, and liver, and lungs, and stomach, etc. The body of Christ has members. But the members of the body of Christ are not individual churches. They are individual souls that God has saved. the churches only refer to the universality of Christ's kingdom, in that souls all over the world are a part of or make up the universal church of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, one another, with a holy greeting. The churches of Christ greet you. There are no other churches that the scriptures speak of in the Bible. The church at Colossae, the church at Thessalonica, the churches in Galatia, which is Greece, northern Greece, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Philippi, all these, the Antioch of Syria, the church in Antioch of Greece, the church in Rome. Oh, by the way, the church in Rome that you read about in the New Testament of God is not the Holy Roman Catholic Church. The Bible was completely written and delivered to the church by 93 A.D., with the Revelation letter being the last revealed book to the Apostle John to be delivered. The Bible was complete. The Revelation was complete. God told John, I don't want any man to add to this book or the prophecy of this book. If he do, he's going to get all the plagues and condemnation of hell added to his soul, so that he is in spiritual death. So the Bible was completed in 93 A.D. The Church of Christ was established on earth in 33 A.D., 60 years before the Bible canon was completed and all the revelation was written by the prophets of the New Testament. So the church had existed for 60 years before the Bible was completely written. However, the Catholic Church, which many claim to be the first Christian church on earth, did not have its beginning until after 325 A.D., when the last emperor of Rome, Constantinople, declared Christianity as a state-adopted religion. In other words, it was a religion that the Roman government sanctioned. It evidently gave up its pagan polygod religion, where they had many gods. They had Jupiter and Mars and gods and goddesses. They decided that we're going to go with the one true God. Well, that was a mighty noble thing of Constantinople to declare for his government, for his kingdom, okay, for his monarchy. But the church of Christ had already begun. Jesus was already reigning and has continued to reign over his kingdom through the hearts and minds of the faith of those who have believed and obeyed the truth. So the Holy Roman Church did exist. And if it's the mother of all the other churches that have come about since, then they are all too late. If you're a member of one of them, you're in the wrong church. You're not in the church of salvation. You're not in the church where salvation is. You're not in Christ, who is the head of the church, which is his body. You're not in Christ, who is the husband of the church, which is his wife. Oh, wait a minute. Let's get some scripture. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 through 31. Christ is the husband of the church. Oh, yeah, the church is his wife, his spiritual wife. He only has one wife. He only intended for man to have one wife and woman to have one husband. He only has one wife. He is a husband of one church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 26. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. He is the head of his house. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Christ, and pardon me, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 6. Christ is a son over his own house. In other words, Christ is a husband, a head over his own household. Just like a man, a father is the head of his household. He is the father of all the children, and he is the head of the wife. So he's the head of his household. So is Christ. Christ is God. We are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All of Christ's children are born into the spiritual family. They come through the spiritual birth, which is water baptism by faith. Mm-hmm. That's according to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. That's according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Jesus commanded baptism, Mark 16, 15 and 16, for salvation. Baptism makes you a child of God. When you are born into the spiritual family of God, you are automatically a member of his family, the church. You do not have to join Christ's church. Literally, you cannot join Christ's church. You must be born again of your spirit into spiritual church of Christ. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There's no alternative. Water baptism is essential to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Water baptism is not a bath or a shower. There's no sprinkling on, and there's no washing of the flesh. It has nothing to do with that. Baptism is the answer of a good conscience. It is a response of faith toward God, of belief in the salvation of God. That's what faith is. It's obedience to the commandment of God. That's what baptism is. Baptism sanctifies the soul, not the fleshly body. Flesh and blood has no inheritance in the spiritual kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is not going to leave this world. It's going to die right here. The only thing that can leave this world is our eternal soul. Where will we go when we leave this world, this earth? We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. But this is the doctrine of the one true church that the Bible preaches and that we as ministers of Christ preach and teach. If you are not a member of the spiritual church of Christ, the one church that the Bible speaks of, you are in the wrong church. And there's a lot of folks in the wrong church. There are over 600 named denominations of churches in the world. Many, and most of them, exist in some form or fashion in the United States of America. But many of them are all over the world because the devil's ministers have ventured in mission all over the world to preach the devil's doctrine. But so has the gospel of Christ. You just have to know the difference, ladies and gentlemen. And the only way you can know the difference is you got to know what the Word of God says. If it's not written in the Word of God, it's not the truth. Only the truth can set you free from sin. John 8 and 32. If it's not written in the Word of God, it is condemned to eternity in hell, to damnation in hell. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, that's the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that's the Holy Writ, that's the New Testament gospel of Christ, the Word of God. Whoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. The lake of fire is eternal damnation. It's hell. That's the second death. The first death that we must experience is the one in which we die to the love and practice of sin. Romans 6 and 17. The Spirit says, you have obeyed from the heart of faith that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What form of doctrine? The gospel. How was that delivered? Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the morning of the third day to die no more. We die to the love and practice of sin. We are buried with Christ by baptism into his death through faith in the watery grave of baptism, where the blood of Christ washes away, cleanses our soul from the cancer of sin in it. See, the water symbolizes the washing by the Word through the blood of Christ to cleanse our soul. Baptism is a burial. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we are buried with Christ by baptism. A burial is not a sprinkling or a pouring on, but it is a immersion, a submersion in the watery grave. That symbolism is necessary because it's what God commands. Not what men say, not what men think. It's what God has revealed by his word of instruction. We got to be buried, ladies and gentlemen. And to this day, I've never heard of anyone who was buried by sprinkling a little dirt on the dead body or pouring a cup of dirt on the dead body. That has never occurred that we know of in the history of man. Jesus was buried in the heart of the earth. He was buried in a rock cave in the earth. He was covered up, and he was his body, his physical body in death, was sealed off from the life of the living men. That's the way death and burial has been carried on in every generation and civilization of man to this day. So, we are buried with Christ. Baptism is that burial. Baptism is a new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 5, except a man be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the spiritual kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ is the church. And yes, there's a religion, maybe several religious doctrines that declare that the kingdom of Christ has not been established on earth, that's going to happen when Jesus comes a second time. But the Bible doesn't say that. That's a lying doctrine. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come a second time to redeem the church, his spiritual kingdom, from the earth. But Jesus' kingdom has already come. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 3. The kingdom of God is with men. That's what God revealed. It's already here. It's the church of Christ. It's the spiritual kingdom that God has put on earth for men to obey and to have their souls saved in. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of hell and damnation, and have been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We know who that is. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If that has happened already, the kingdom is already here. More importantly, Jesus, who is God and our Savior, declares, Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some of you standing here, he was speaking to his disciples, will not taste of death until you see the kingdom come with power. Well, when did that kingdom come with power? Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 and continuing throughout verse number 47. In the first five verses, it talks about that the Holy Ghost came and the kingdom of Christ came with a very loud sound, with a hurricane, whirlwind sound. It was a sound of mighty rushing wind. It was a sound that was undeniable. Everybody who heard the sound knew about it. It was noised abroad in the city of Jerusalem. Something occurred at 9 o'clock that morning on Sunday, May 28, A.D. 33. Something occurred in the city of Jerusalem, and the people who were dwelling in Jerusalem, they heard the noise. The kingdom of God did not come without observation. It was seen. It was heard. It was observed. It was reckoned. That's what God's word says. Now, that's the church of Christ. If your church didn't begin in that same miraculous way, in that same miraculous time, with the same apostles to be the first preachers, you're in the wrong church. The apostles never taught a gospel sermon in the Catholic Church, nor any church since the Catholic Church. Therefore, if you're not in the Church of Christ, you must be in the wrong church in order to be saved. Man cannot save man. If that were possible, Christ would not have had to die on the cross. God would not have had to prepare a perfect sacrifice for man's sin if men could save themselves. Man had no hope in this world. He had no hope for eternity until God provided a sacrifice for his salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, you got any questions tonight? We're still asking you. Ask your question. But I want to ask those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ, you say I'm Baptist, I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm that, I'm Jehovah's Witness, I'm Mormon, I'm Lutheran. Yeah. I want to ask you, where is your church name found in the Bible? Who founded your church? I need to know the book, chapter, and verse of who founded your church. Who started it? Who was the first ministers of your church? What year did it start? The Holy Roman Church lies on itself in stating that it started with the papacy in 67 A.D., still too late. Christ's church began in 33 A.D., nearly 34 years before there was even a such thing as a so-called pope. And the truth is, that's the devil's lie. There is no man mentioned as pope in 67 A.D., not even in the annals of history. It's just a religious lie that the doctrine of the Catholic Church adheres to and teaches its members. It also teaches its members that the Apostle Peter was the first pope of the Catholic Church. And that, too, is a devil's lie. It's a doctrine of devils. God warns us about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 through verse 4. He says, in the latter days, some will come, they will depart from the true faith in God, and they will give heed to those who will bring seducing doctrines of devils. Seducing means they're going to trick you. They're going to fool you. They're going to beguile you. They're going to persuade you against God. That has already happened, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why we have so many in the world that claim to be Christ, and they are not. The Bible speaks of only one, the one that Jesus built. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. That's the only person in the whole Bible that ever said that they were going to build a church for the souls of men. Your church founder, name, doctrine, commitment, whatever, it's not even written in the Bible. He wasn't, or she wasn't even living when the Bible was written for mankind, for all generations, when the revelation was sealed for all generations. Your founder was not even alive. That's history. You can read about that in the encyclopedia on the internet. That's the history and the record of history of man. But the Church of Christ, it began before the New Testament Bible was written. The Acts of the Apostles were written after they occurred. Not while they were occurring, but afterward, by a prophet of God, Luke, a Christian minister, and a human physician, a doctor of medicine in the first century. So we got to recognize that unless you're in the church in the Bible, you've missed the truth. Where is your church? If it's mentioned in the Bible, I would challenge anybody on this call who's a member of such a church to push number one on your telephone keypad and give me the book, chapter, and verse where your church is taught, where it is located in the New Testament Bible. I know it's not in the Old Testament Bible, because Christianity didn't start until Christ died. So it's not going to be in the Old Testament Bible. It's certainly not in the New. But if it is, I need you to show me that and give me that information. If what you're saying is true, then Brother Williams will relent. I will repent, because I've been found to be a liar. If you can show me in the scriptures where the name of the founder of your religion is written in the New Testament, I need that information from you tonight. If you cannot do that, I encourage you, I warn you, I rebuke you and admonish you that you need to obey the gospel of Christ and be born into the spiritual family of Christ and be a member of the spiritual church of Christ today, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Deathbed confessions are no good. You see, faith without obedience is of no spiritual value. It's dead. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 19. Know ye not that faith without works is dead, being alone. In other words, this doctrine of believe only, all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you are saved. Baptism is not essential to salvation. All of that is the doctrine and lies of the devil. Because the same book of God that talks about baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, says that baptism saves us now. Now, it said that in 65 A.D. Baptism saved in 65. Baptism still saves in 1965, in 2019, and it will be saving in 2065 if the world stands. Baptism still saves. That's God's word. No preacher can deny that without lying on God. Lying on God's word, lying on Jesus Christ, who is the living word, is blasphemy. It's a death sentence for your soul. I wouldn't do that if I were you. If I were a minister, I wouldn't do that. I would let God be true and all these lies of the devil be just what they are, lies. I'd leave them alone. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were you and I found myself caught up in that kind of religious faith, I would quit today. I would quit right now. I would do my very best to find the Church of Christ, the assembly of the Church of Christ in my community, in my nation, in my city, in my country, and go and be baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins, so that I might be saved for eternal life. That's what I would do if I were in that situation. But you have to make up your own mind. Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come and take up the water and take the water of life freely. Let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What is your cross? You got to take up your responsibility through faith and obedience to God. You got to obey God for yourself. Each man must obey God for himself, because each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God in the day of judgment in order to be rewarded or punished. Reward or punishment, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to get one or the other. And everyone's going to get their own. My mama and I are going to get no punishment for me. And I'm not going to get no punishment for her. We got to stand up for ourselves. We got to face it for ourselves. And I pray that I receive salvation and not condemnation in the day of judgment. That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm believing and having faith in God's word for eternal life with Christ. Well, try to be as generous with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we possibly can. And I pray that our message tonight has not fallen upon deaf ears, but that someone is believing the truth tonight. We haven't had any questions of you tonight. There are many other questions that we could ask. Not only can we ask about the name of your church and when it started and who started it, we can talk about what it teaches. The things that are taught. Baptism is not essential to salvation. Where is that taught in the New Testament Bible? There are all kinds of questions that you need to consider when you consider the seriousness of your faith and your salvation in Christ Jesus. But as we conclude our program tonight, we want to take a moment right now and have a word of prayer and thank God for the blessedness of his word. Let us pray. God, we are so grateful for another day of life and another opportunity in the spirit to declare your truth to dying and perishing generations of men whose souls lie jeopardy of eternal damnation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that some honest soul have heard something tonight, that they will not only hear it with their ears, but that they will obey it from the heart of faith and be saved by the truth before the everlasting eternity too late. Continue to bless this ministry. Bless all of the ministers who serve in this ministry. Bless all of the hearers, and especially our brethren who participate and support the preaching of the gospel in this global ministry each week. Pray, Heavenly Father, that much everlasting righteousness will be manifested through this divine effort. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who gave us the word, who gave us salvation, and made it all possible for the souls of men. In Jesus' name we give thanks, and in Jesus' name we pray. By his authority, we preach, we teach, and we obey. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, and may God bless us all according to his mercy, that we may all in time obey the truth before time runs out. Have a wonderful day. Goodbye.